This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dort Podcast. Hashtag. It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
What up, what up?
Oh, snap. Are you ready, player one?
Am I? I don't know.
Nah, I don't know if you are either. Anything new since last week?
Anything new since? No, nothing really new.
No,
you know, just
same
saw
old
a movie last night in the theater. So
yeah, how sparse was it?
To talk about it.
How sparse was the theater?
It was me and about four people in the. I was in the dead to rights in the middle.
Nice.
And there was about four people in the very back row behind me. So
ooh,
that's okay. About it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, a Monday night viewing, I could see that being the case, but
you know, 9:30 on a Monday, not sparsely populated.
God, you must not have gotten out of there until midnight. This is a long, it's a long. You know what? Let's save it. Let's couch it.
Let's save it.
Let's
yep.
Put a pin in that right now. Let's get to the news and notes of the week. Well, Ryan, the third annual Hashtag Dork Madness is in the books. This year, we crowned the greatest TV show of all time. We went from 64 down to 1, and your winner, Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, the greatest television show of all time.
Seinfeld defeated Breaking Bad. I know you thought, when we checked in around the Sweet 16 mark, you thought Breaking Bad was going to win. I thought Game of Thrones was going to win. Both were dominating early on. But Seinfeld, I'm kind of surprised because if you look at some of the results along the way, there was definitely a lot of recency bias. Like, there was definitely shows that people, I think, had forgotten how good they were. And maybe it's just because Seinfeld, the reruns run nonstop. But Seinfeld, not only did it win, I think it had one of the toughest paths to get there. Like, it had to beat Game of Thrones. It beat The Office. It beat Chappelle's Show. It even beat Golden Girls in the first round, which was like a pretty good.
Took down Golden Girls handily in the first round.
Beat the freaking Golden Girls. So Seinfeld's the winner. So I think we need to somehow do an episode on Seinfeld. I don't know how we can condense Seinfeld into one episode, but we might have to try.
We might have to try. And the other thing, too, is, and I was thinking about it because I was a little upset that Breaking Bad went out the way that it did. I mean, it went to the finals, you know.
It's pretty good.
The Michigan of the, you know, see, topical sports.
Nice. Nicely done.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about it, too, and there's a lot of people who just, who say, you know, Breaking Bad's a little too intense for me. It's just not for me, you know. But Seinfeld's for everybody. Seinfeld's for the people.
Seinfeld is for everybody. I think so. We'll figure out a way to do Seinfeld, and maybe we can even bring like Woody and Bessie in, because I know those guys are nuts about Seinfeld too. Breaking Bad, we should do a season by season, and because it's all on Netflix right now too, so it'd be easy to rewatch it, and then we could break down each season. Maybe when we have kind of lulls in the action, we can go back and do Breaking Bad seasons. So
yeah, that is like maybe during the later summer months. When,
correct.
You know,
the dog days, Ryan. That's what they call
exactly.
Them,
that's classic. What they call them.
Hey, how about this? Here's some movie news. Rob Gronkowski, aka Gronk, he's a football player for the New England Patriots. He is set to
Well,
that's also true. That's another. Yeah. That's a whole podcast in itself. He is set to join the cast of a movie called Boss Level with Mel Gibson and Naomi Watts, and it's basically the plot of Happy Death Day, or there was a Tom Cruise movie. It's one of these things where he wakes up on it, like he dies and he keeps waking up on that day. Mel Gibson.
Okay.
Mel Gibson, not Gronk. Gronk has an undefined role as of now. Here would be my question for you. Over under 1.5 lines by Gronk.
He will have a line, so I'm gonna say under.
I'll think the under too. I think they're gonna like zoom in. He's gonna have, you know, he's gonna be wearing some kind of sleeveless something. Maybe it's like a bulletproof vest with no sleeves and nothing else. Now, my question is, will he be a guy, one of the guys that kills Mel Gibson, or will he be like a friend?
He'll be a guy who kills Mel Gibson in kind of a ridiculous way.
Yeah, I think so. Like, maybe he like spikes his head or something.
Or he just goes like, no, and just like punches him in the head and kills him. Yeah, I don't know.
And that's technically a line, right? Like, if he just says
line.
No,
yeah,
that counts.
Yeah. He gets a SAG card for that, I think.
I think he should. What, or,
I think
how about
you do.
This?
I think legally, I mean, we have to check with Marcus, but I think you get a SAG card for like a spoken role.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right, over under 7 words.
I was gonna ask you the same thing. I was gonna put it at 10, but I'll take.
I'll go under 10.
I'll go under 10.
Yeah, it's gonna be what are you doing here, or you shouldn't be here, or how did you find me, or just no. Yeah, that's what it's gonna be. All right, other TV news here. We got Westworld Season 2. They had another trailer come out, and this show is going to be out April 22nd. Are you in on Westworld Season 2?
I'm in. I'm interested in to see where this goes. And now this is, as you know, Season 2 in any show is the make or break for any show.
Oh, yeah.
So, so much so, I don't know if Jessica Jones will be coming back on her own now.
Ugh. You know? Jessica Jones Season 2 Electric Boogaloo did not meet our expectations. You can check out that entire episode in the archives.
But I was into how Westworld ended. I thought that was a nice kind of way to, not nice, but it was an interesting way to end that, where the robots, I don't want to spoil anything. Are we doing spoilers in This Week in Dork?
Oh, well, I think.
Something happens. Something happens with the robots that leaves you questioning some things.
That's for sure true.
Yeah.
That is for sure true. No, I was, It burned really hot for me. I really liked Westworld early on, and then I kind of started to lose a little bit of interest. I made it all the way through, and I'll watch it. I'll watch season two and see where it goes. But like, I don't think it's good or bad enough to like warrant its own like standalone dork episode. You know, it's not like one of those shows.
Yeah. Do you find it hard to see Liam McPoyle as a hero?
Yes.
In this show?
Yes, I do. I keep waiting for him to just come out in a bathrobe drinking milk. But
with an eye patch, flesh-colored eye patch.
He needs to like do like the screaming every once in a while, like just go from like 0 to 100, like super fast.
Yeah,
but yeah. So I mean, I'll watch the show, and I think you will too. Speaking of season two's Legion is out this week. In fact, you could be listening to it right now, and it could be on right now. But Legion season two. This is another show. I think we may have made the mistake of doing a standalone episode last year, one of the least downloaded episodes. Doesn't mean it was the worst, but actually it may have been the worst. And that was last year, season one of Legion. It's a confusing show, but it is good. It's on FX. It's a kind of small Marvel character that the guys behind Fargo have got behind. And it's interesting. It's good, but it's also confusing as shit.
Yeah, and that's what I think you and I didn't think we didn't get enough space from it. Like, I think I watched like the last four episodes like the day before.
Oh, you definitely shotgunned it. That's right. I remember that.
I remember cramming it, and I was like, I just remember being like, it looks really cool, and I like the characters, and like how, like, I like where this is going, but I don't really get where this is going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I can admit that I'm a man. I can admit that now that like I didn't fully get it.
You know,
I think it came through in that podcast. And I also think that was the least downloaded one because I don't think a lot of people watched that show.
No, I think you're right. I think we noticed that with the Netflix shows and with some of the specific TV shows, it's you see the title, and I think people just kind of tune out. And
they're like, yeah.
I didn't see it. I'll catch you guys next week.
But, you know, maybe just check it out and stay for the witty repartee.
Well, the whole fucking idea of This Week in Hashtag Dork is just that, Ryan. Every week you should want to tune in because these are changing things. These are all new ideas. You have the video game minute. That's coming your way soon. Like, listen for that. God damn it. How about SNL fans? I know there's a couple of you still out there.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, I dip in here and there. Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther, will be hosting this Saturday. And then next Saturday is John Mulaney, who is hilarious. Like, John Mulaney's stand-up is way funnier than you think it's going to be. Like, it's on Netflix. There's a couple of them on there. Just sit down and, like, immediately you're in store for what is going to be a great hour of comedy. He's one of the best, I think.
He's one of the best. And Jack White is actually the musical guest on that one, so I'm actually really excited for that. So it's John Mulaney and Jack White, which is going to be actually really cool.
And it's Cardi B. Cardi B is going to be with Chadwick
Boseman.
Oh,
Cardi B with the Black Panther.
Big fan. My wife is a huge Cardi B fan.
Is she?
She loves Cardi B for some reason, yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
I watched a little bit of John Mulaney's stand-up, and he does this amazing bit about getting his prostate checked.
Oh, my God.
And it's like he's such a nerd kind of and just kind of like such a dweeb that it's so funny.
It's so good. He obviously also has the special with Nick Kroll, the Oh Hello, they tour, and that's on Netflix too. And that's really good, but I could see it's different. So even if you saw that and you're like, it's okay – the Mulaney stand-up on its own is great. So that's why on SNL I'm fascinated to see, because he had his own sitcom on Fox that got, like, almost immediately canceled.
It did. I don't think he's a sitcom guy. I think he's much more clever than that.
Yeah, I agree. And he's not, like, he's good, and, like, I think people who enjoy comedy certainly know who he is, but he's not famous enough to be like, hey, I have my own show and everyone's going to watch it.
Yeah, he's an oh yeah that guy.
Yeah, and I think...
as we call him in the Davey household. But, like, you've definitely seen the guy. And every time I'm like, do you know who, like, Stephen Tobolowsky is? And my wife's like, no. And I'm like, I show her, like, on my phone. And she's like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, you know that guy.
John Mulaney's an oh, yeah, that guy.
Is Stephen Tobolowsky the guy who was in Memento?
Yes.
Okay.
And he was also Needle Nose Ned the Head from Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Let's see. How about a couple of casting news or potential casting news? One I saw you respond to on the Twitter.
Yep.
Matt Damon was apparently offered the role of an unknown villain in the Spider-Man Homecoming sequel.
And he passed. And then I believe I tweeted, I also passed on that idea.
Yeah, I think I'm good there.
He's done villain-esque things. And he's got some action chops with the Bourne stuff. But I just think he's too... I don't know.
What'd you think of The Martian?
I never saw it.
Yeah, don't.
Didn't see it.
Don't. I was very underwhelmed by the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they gave the whole thing away in the trailer, too.
Well, I think you told me not to see it.
Yeah, it stinks.
Yeah.
That was another one that me and
that was
my wife
In the days of yore.
Yes.
You told me just, like, don't
Days gone by. How about this little nugget? Woody Harrelson, a couple of websites picked this up. I don't know if it's been confirmed or not, but Woody Harrelson is apparently going to be in the Venom movie, and it looks like he's going to be playing Carnage.
Good.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Like, if he can match Tom Hardy's crazy with his brand of crazy, I think we're okay.
Not to put you on the spot here, but I think if you take Tom Hardy, Michelle Williams, and Woody Harrelson, you can put that trio, acting-wise, up against literally any comic book movie ever.
In terms of, like heavy hitters.
Like, actors. Sheer, like, acting ability. Now, I know you had Christian Bale and Tom Hardy and Anne Hathaway.
See, I was going to go
Henry
Bale,
Cavill.
Bale, Ledger, Oldman.
Ooh, that's a great one. Yeah, so I would say it would rival anything since the...
Since The Dark Knight.
The Nolan trilogy.
Yeah.
Because all of those had their own...
Get.
Yeah. Because, like, the MCU movies have, like, pretty good... Like, Robert Downey Jr. is a really, really good actor. And there are some other really good actors and actresses in the MCU and some of the other ones. But Hardy, Michelle Williams, and Woody Harrelson. Like, that is insane. Like, that's going to be really good.
I mean, you have, but then, like I said, Bale, Oldman, and Ledger. Those are three Oscar winners. So,
yeah, those guys, I mean, Gary Oldman, I think, is the greatest actor of ours or any generation.
Him and Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, the fact that he played Dracula and then played the, was it Curtis from True Romance?
Oh, no, not Curtis. The fuck was his name?
Curtis is Christian Slater's character.
What the fuck was his name? Ah!
But that was amazing.
Nuts. That's one of my favorite movies. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
And I can never remember that character's name. I'll come up. You keep going. I'll come up.
Just look it up.
Drexel.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. How about, did you see the first episode of Barry yet?
I did.
How about when they're doing scenes and they did a scene from True Romance? They're doing that scene where he's in there and he's talking to Christian Slater. And it's so good. And then one of the guys is like, when he's going back to talk to Stephen Root, he's like, True Romance is a movie. He's like, yeah, but this is LA theater, so they do movies instead of like plays.
Yeah.
That's great. Last bit of news, the CW recently just picked up new seasons for like all of the shows, like Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl, Black Lightning, and Riverdale. So if you're a fan of any of those shows, they are all coming back, baby.
Cool.
I know you don't watch any of them, but I just wanted to share that. I've actually bailed on some. Arrow has, they're 23-hour-long episodes a year. It's insane.
How are you out on Arrow, but you're still watching The Walking Dead?
It's a great question.
I need you to answer. People want to know.
I think, first of all, the less episodes helps. I think Walking Dead is 16 episodes, and they do 8, take a break, and do 8. So I can wrap my head around 16 over 23. And I'm more invested, or at least was more invested, in the Walking Dead graphic novel than I was like Arrow. Like, Arrow has a bunch of different stories. Like, there's a lot of good Green Arrow, but Walking Dead is like one continuous run. So that's probably why.
None better than Escape from Supermax.
That's right.
That's a callback to last episode, for those of you fans.
Or the Longbow Hunters, if you're looking for some Green Arrow reading. Or Quiver, or others. Or the New 52 starting in like Volume 4. Skip like the first 3 volumes. Once Jeff Lemire picks it up, get in on that. All right, let's get on to the next portion.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, right. Oh, by the way, this is a great example. Even if you hadn't seen Ready Player One, we've already given you 15 fresh minutes of good content here. So,
we 15 minutes of just hot sauce,
and it's going to only continue right now with the DVGM.
The DVGM, also as in the past 2 weeks, brought to you by the great people of Illusion Grips. Go to illusiongrips.ticktail.com for all of your custom gaming grips. They're awesome. They're cool to work with. And make sure you tell Kyle we said hello. I'll keep the video game minute short this week because we get a lot of things. Richard, I got a lot of feelings.
Yes, I bet you do. This is your coup de grace.
Big watch. Everyone, a lot of people who listen to this pay attention to Overwatch and Overwatch news. The big news out of the Overwatch camp is that some characters are getting reworked, including Symmetra and your boy Torbjorn are getting reworked right now. They don't know what's happening yet. They might have some new abilities or some taken away and replaced. But the big news is that Hanzo's scatter arrow is gone in the next update. And they're replacing it with a rapid fire, which he shoots 6 arrows in 2 seconds.
Wow.
So that the scatter arrow, which has been the bane of some of our existences, is
scatter
arrow
is a pain in the ass sometimes. That's for sure. Yeah.
So that's now gone. A couple of games that I missed last week that I want to bring up because they're actually really good, despite all its quirks. If you look at some of the glitches that are online, MLB The Show 18, which is a PlayStation exclusive, is actually still. I did some hands-on with it this week, and it's still the only. But like, it's one of the best baseball simulations I've ever played. There are some really funky things that happen. Like, there's one that's going around where the pitcher throws a pitch at like a 45-degree angle, and it hits the bat of the player in the on-deck circle and went for a home run.
What?
Which, So that can happen. Remember that in the one in 17 where you were like customizing your face, and if you did the right combination of face, it looks like it was made out of like toothpicks.
Yes.
Remember that. So there's still some kind of quirky things that go on with that. But I actually played it, and it's a lot of fun. And it's the only game in town in terms of baseball sims. So pick that up if you have a chance. The other game I had a little hands-on with is a game called A Way Out. Have you heard of this game, Richard?
No. A Way Out? No.
So there was a game that came out. It was called, like, Brothers or, like, it was a PlayStation Network or, like, Xbox Live arcade game where, like, you play two characters simultaneously, and each thumbstick is, like, a different brother. Like, these two brothers go, and you control them.
Nuts. Yeah, that's weird.
It was weird, but it was actually really fun. And that same company, Hazel Light Studios, came up with this game called, in addition to, in conjunction with EA, this game called A Way Out, which is... It's totally multiplayer. You can't play the game alone, and you play one of two characters, and they're trying to break out of prison.
Okay.
So you actually have to work with, like, a complete stranger.
They're, like, escaping from Supermax.
Yeah, and, like, there's ways you can kind of, like, dick your partner over in the end.
Ooh, see, I don't like that. I don't like backstabbers.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, you run the risk of... But it's a cool idea, and I played it for a little bit, and it's actually really fun. I didn't get to finish it, so I don't know, because God knows... I am just all over this Far Cry 5 right now.
Which, oh, yeah.
By the way, if I were to review that right now, it is the most ridiculous amount of... It's ridiculous. The game itself is ridiculous.
Are you BD in it right now, you think?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
To the hilt. I am to the hilt with this game right now. I'm getting every outpost, every, like, Doomsday Prepper outpost, like, just clearing outposts like crazy. I got my animal friends coming to help me. And you'll be happy to know that... Well, you do have to lay some animals low, Richard. Your animal companions, including my man Boomer, can't die.
Oh, that is tremendous news.
They can go down, but you can bring them back. Like,
I like that. You can revive them. I like that.
Yeah.
That's really good. Like Beric Dondarrion.
Yeah.
Now, going back to the how you can turn on your teammate there, that reminds me of like Grand Theft Auto 5. Remember like the online play, and you could you'd like team up with a random guy, you'd go like rob a bank, and then I would always fucking turn the gun on him and shoot him and like take him on, like every time. It was like so predictable that it's like, so they're like, hey, we're on the same team. Like, yeah, we're on the same team. Like, let's stick these guys up. Let's get money. And as soon as we get out to the getaway car, it's like, shoot them and then take the money.
It's funny. We used to play Grand Theft Auto 5, and I used to play with like, I used to play with like a group of students here, because they were like, oh, Mr. Davey plays Grand Theft Auto, let's play with them. So I'm like, all right, fine, I'll play with you guys for a little bit. And I'm like, you want to join our gang? They're like, yeah. And like, all right, well, you have to go rob this liquor store. And then we would just leave them.
That's the best.
They'd get killed, yeah.
Yeah, they get like arrested or whatever. That's great.
Yeah.
Is that it, Ryan?
That'll do it for me today.
Are you ready, no pun intended, for the topic du jour?
And what is that? Well, I'm dreading it.
That's just the topic of the day. But today, it is Ready Player One, the film, which is 2 hours and 20 minutes long, and it's every second of that. It was a budget of $175 million, and currently on Rotten Tomatoes, 75% approved by the critics, 80% by the fans or the audience. So we begin spoiler-free, as we always do with movies and with TV shows, and I ask you, Ryan, did you like it?
Not really.
That's exactly how I was going to answer it, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, no, not really. Yeah, all right, so for people who are not familiar, this is obviously, with the exception of the Quran, this is your favorite book, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly,
okay.
Yeah.
So give me a spoiler-free plot, like sum up the movie to the layman.
So I think in one of the reviews in the cover of the book, by the way, I like this book a lot. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but I wouldn't go that far. But I do really like this book a lot, and it means a lot to me on a personal level. But do I think it's the best written book in the world? No. But basic plot is, and the way to encapsulate it, someone who reviewed the book said, it's like Willy Wonka meets The Matrix, which is like those two things together. So this game developer... or the software developer develops this place called the Oasis, which is this vast virtual and open source virtual reality world where everything takes place, including schools and commerce and gaming. All this stuff takes place within this construct of the Oasis. The developer who made this game dies. In his living will, he says that he has hidden an Easter egg in this game, and the winner will get his stake in the company and complete control over the Oasis forever, and it winds up being like $500 billion or something like that, or $240 billion, depending on, you know, whatever. But And there are these group of kids who essentially go on this quest to find the Easter egg. And they are trying to outsmart this big company that's trying to take it over and basically monetize everything in it to make money off of it.
Right. And the movie starts in the year 2045, so we're really not that far away. And so we're really not all that far away from what this looks like. And they give you like a little brief. And you can see in the preview, they show you some of what it looks like in the real world and then what it looks like with the avatars and everything else. Now, we can give away book spoilers later on. Let's not do that because some people might want to read the book still too. But on a scale, of course, from 1 to 6, how similar is the movie from the book? 1 being it's completely different, 6 being it's a shot-for-shot remake.
It's like 2.5, 3.
Okay, yeah, so right in the middle. All right.
So the way I described it in my notes was that it's like a distant cousin that has the same last name as you. Like, okay. There's a little bit of family resemblance, and you share a name, but other than that, like, you don't see each other that often.
Okay, all right. So
maybe, like, once a year.
And we'll get into specifics on that here coming up. As a brief aside, I figure we should put this in the non-spoiler section. What would your avatar be if you were in the Oasis? What do you think? What would your name be? What would your look be? What would your primary function be?
Well, I think I've branded myself pretty well as Arvon D, so that's something that I would...
Yes.
Something I would kind of stick with. Or, you know, the Sandman Slim of, you know, I could stick with that as well.
That's good, too.
But I had a lot of fun answering this question. So I think it would be, like, I jumped, like, there would be, like, an amalgamation of, like, everything. Because in the Oasis, you can have, like, loot. So
yes.
I'm thinking, like, what would be, like, if I was just walking around and, like, doing stuff, like, I would have one outfit. If I was actually, like, gaming, I would have another outfit. And, you know, I kind of went hard on it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, I would think, now, I wouldn't want to be just a direct copy of it, but it would be very similar. I would base it all off of Red Hood. I would look very similar to Red Hood. I like those guys. I also like Deadpool. Not that I would steal that whole thing, but I like the idea of a guy that has both guns and swords. So it's like he's really up for whatever. And I think I would probably just be like an assassin. I think that would probably be the best way of going about it. And a guy that just kind of goes around like on the outskirts and finds, you know, or maybe even like blend it with like Robin Hood. Like I would steal from like the guys that are, you know, the big corporation guys that have all this extra loot, all this extra stuff. I would, you know, rob them and go about my business
and
that way.
Help the little guys.
Help the little guy out. That's what I think I would do. Yeah.
See, I think, what would you have for a vehicle? Because everyone has a vehicle in this game.
I would have, that's a good question. Probably, just like a souped up like four-wheeler.
I like it.
Yeah, because I'm not a motorcycle guy. I don't think I'm a motorcycle guy. I'm also not super into cars. What would you drive?
I would want to kind of stand out. Like, when I ever create a character and stuff, there's always something that, like, I have that I kind of, is like an homage to something else.
You'd be on a Segway.
No. So you know how, like, in the movie Ready Player One, there's, like, all these different, you can see them in the trailer, like, someone's driving Bigfoot, like, someone's driving the DeLorean from Back to the Future. I would have the Ford Falcon, the Interceptor from Mad Max, the black one.
Oh, yeah.
The original Mad Max.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That would be my car.
What about, I would have Benny the Taxi from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's not bad. See, now you're talking.
See, now I'm thinking. Now I'm going places.
You can crack wise with him while you're doing
your race. He's hilarious. And he can, you know, have, you know, really tall wheels if he needs to go over a bridge, or, you know, he can do all kinds of stuff. And he's got a little attitude to him, a little sass.
And if you got tired, he could drive himself.
That's right. Oh, absolutely. More often than not, that's probably what he would do. So that's pretty good. All right, back to the movie. Just give me like a quick answer for each one of these things. What did you think of the overall story?
I'm trying to find a word for it that's just like, it's just for the common people, you know, for the masses.
Yeah. The action?
Is a great start, decent end. Lacking in the middle.
Yeah. Humor?
I had some giggles here and there, but overall I thought the humor was a little lame.
Yeah, I thought, I'm with you. Like, I definitely, not like a laugh out loud. There are definitely times, a couple of characters I think bring some of the comedy to it, but it's not crazy.
And I would say that if I were to sum up the humor in a sound, is like, you got like one or two of these.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The acting?
That weakest part of the movie.
It was not super strong. Now, some of it's tough because there's a lot of CGI in there, too. And so you're kind of jumping back and forth. And then the rewatchability.
I think that the rewatchability is high insofar as, like, you're going to pause this a lot.
The whole movie is Easter eggs, so I'm with you.
There are times where, like, there's a lot going on, and you're looking around, it's like, did I just see a battle toad?
Yes, and you did. And by the way, spoiler, you did see a battle. You saw a couple of battle toads.
And I'm like, all right, so I'm going to have to go back and see. And a lot of Tracer. Tracer got some love.
Yeah, they were all about Overwatch in this. They liked Overwatch, Halo, some of the other ones we'll get into. But yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, I didn't love the movie, but as far as rewatchability, just because there are so many things to look for, there are so many, like, there's over-the-top references, but then there's, like, on every screen you look around, and there's not, like, oh, that's just, like, that's a nobody character. You're like, no, that's from something. Like, I might not know what it is, but that's from something. My other question would be, who is this movie for? Only because, you know how, like, Marvel movies, like, they have a pretty set audience at this point. Everybody's all in on these. Because I know a lot of people that didn't even know that this was a book. And they're like, oh, it's a new Spielberg movie. But there's so many kind of crazy sci-fi-ish movies that just look like chaos on the screen. Like, you can say Pacific Rim. You can say all the way back to, like, Speed Racer. Like, there's a lot of movies that are just, here's like the Valerian movie. Like, I don't know who is this really pushed for, and, like, who's really seeing it.
Right. So, and I guess this is the biggest problem I had with this. It's definitely for the people who didn't read the book.
Okay.
Like, at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be...
Which is a bigger audience, obviously.
It's a way bigger audience, and we'll get into it in, like, the spoiler thing, more specifics. But, like, if you had, like, you were aware that the book exists, but you didn't read it, or you didn't know it was a book, and you're just like, oh, this looks like a cool Spielberg movie. I'll check it out. Like, the movie's for you.
Yeah, that makes sense. I have a casting fact. You want a quick casting fact?
Hit me.
Olivia Cooke, who played Artemis in the movie, she was also in Bates Motel, the TV show. She was in a terrible horror movie called Ouija, but she beat out Elle Fanning for the role. How about that?
How about that?
The other, I have a release date fact as well.
Yep.
This movie was originally scheduled for a December 15th release of last year. But, of course, that may sound familiar because that was when The Last Jedi came out. So they were like, let's get away from that.
Thank God they got away from that because they never would have made their money back.
No. God, no. And so they did pretty well. I forget last year. Was it 40-something million I think they made opening weekend?
Between 40 and 50.
Yeah, so whatever it was.
Because it was a long weekend.
Now, would you recommend people see this in the theater?
Yes.
So, okay.
If you are going to see it. If you are dead set to, like, I want to see this movie, you should see it in the theater because it's supposed to be seen big screen. There's some spectacle. There are some visual feasts.
I completely agree with that. Like, if you want to see this movie, then you're right. You should see it in the theater. I don't think it's necessarily worth the money of going to the theater. Like,
that's it. Yeah, if you're dead set, if you're like, I want to see this movie, then, like, yes, you should see it in the theater because it's for you. If you're the person who's like, I don't know if I want to see this movie, then wait.
I would also say if you're the person who has a big screen TV and surround sound, then maybe you can just wait until it's on HBO or Netflix. Because you're right, like, there's so much going on the screen that if you saw this, like, if you were watching this on your computer or, like, you know what I mean, you're doing yourself a disservice there. But the actual quality of the movie, like, I don't know. Is it really worth $15 and everything? Like, I don't think so. So that's sort of, I go back and forth. So I guess before we get to spoilers, what would your Infinity Stone score be?
3.5.
Yeah, dude, we see this one exactly the same. I went 3, like, right after I watched it, I said 3. And then I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, maybe closer to 4. And then I'm like, no, let's just split the difference. 3.5.
Yep.
And that's
not a 4.
No,
it's
not.
Watchable.
Yeah, it is. It's watchable. All right, so that's anything else non-spoiler?
Nope.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
All right, so you're the only one out of the two of us that can answer this question. What was the biggest difference or biggest differences between the book and the movie?
As you're saying that, I'm, like, pushing my knuckles away from myself. I'm, like, doing that, like, knuckle crack. I'm like, here we go.
Sit down.
So where I have the biggest problem with this is that the book itself, you haven't read it, and that's what I'm going to tell you is, like, it is a love letter to everything that we like. It is, you know, it. Yeah, it's not the best written book in the world. Yeah, it kind of leans too heavily on, like, the nostalgia thing and whatever, but it's cool knowing, like, as you're reading this book, like, you're aware of what Dungeons & Dragons is and the mechanics of it. And there's this academic component to the book where, like, these kids are, like, actually studying and they're doing these things on their own. They don't just, like, show up to a library, which they do in the movie.
Right.
Just like, oh, I don't remember what Halliday did, so I have to go to this library and this butler's going to show
up. And by the way, like, nobody's there. Like, I know they'd been, like, looking for these Easter eggs for a while, but the fact that you can win the whole goddamn thing and nobody else is doing research, like, they just walk right in and go wherever they want to go,
yeah.
That was a little strange.
And the other thing that I thought was, but like, you know, Wade has all of these, like, old school, like, spiral bound composition and, like, spiral notebooks that he's, like, compiling. So he has, like, his own book that he's been making. And he's just, and the other thing that's a huge difference from the book to the movie is the book goes years. Like, this whole thing takes years.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah. You would think that.
And, you know, Wade is, like, this nobody, and then he gets really famous, and then he meets Artemis, and then they fall out, and then him and H fall out, so he's by himself, and he, like, barricades himself in the house, he's really depressed, and then he kind of makes his way back to them, and there's a whole... So there's a character flow to him that there wasn't in the movie.
Well, my guess... Flat. Yeah, but I was going to say, my guess is you actually cared about him in the book. Like, that was one of my biggest takeaways.
Did.
I didn't really care. Like, if a couple of the scenes, like, I knew it wasn't going to happen, but in real life, when they got to him, if they just, like, shot him in the head, I would have been like, okay, what's next?
Yeah, but, like, what the book did really well, too, is there are times where he's being a dick, and you're just like, I don't like this character anymore.
Mm.
And then why don't you just, like, whatever, you know what I mean? But... and so that's a huge difference with the scope of time. Like, this happened, I guess, over a weekend that they made $240 billion. Like nobody has done this in 5 years, and then all of a sudden you're just like, oh yeah, drive backwards, and then you do it in a day.
Yeah, you do it.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
And then even some of the other stuff that, I mean, maybe they explained it and I just wasn't paying attention, but so they were all, so he's in Columbus, Ohio, and
yeah.
Then, like, all of a sudden they're all in Columbus, Ohio. It's like,
well, so the idea is that, like, Gregarious Games is in Columbus, Ohio, and that's where, like, the best internet is, so that's where people are, like, started to, like, congregate.
Oh, okay.
But in the beginning of the book, Wade's actually in Oklahoma, and everyone, Shoto and Daito are in Japan.
See? Okay.
You know what I mean? And Artemis is, like, somewhere else. Like, they're all over the country.
Yeah, all right.
Which seemed a little convenient that they would all be in Columbus, Ohio.
That's what I thought. Like, they all, like, got together, like, pretty easily and pretty quickly. But I was like, all right, whatever. I guess I can, like, look past that, I guess. But
I think the major point, the difference between the book and the movie, like I said before, is that, like, I love this stuff. And this stuff matters to me. And the idea that Halliday and Ogden Morrow, like, made this thing to start because it was an embodiment of everything that they loved.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there was this whole... And by the way, Ogden Morrow is a major character in the book.
Yeah, and he's played by Simon Pegg. I was hoping he was going to be a major character in this, and he wasn't.
And on the flip side, I-Rock, T.J. Miller's character,
yeah,
is like a nobody in the book.
Really? He was one of the guys that I thought provided some decent humor. Again, not like laugh out loud, but like some of... Just the way he looked and the way he talked and, like, what he said, like, I enjoyed his character.
Yeah, that was like like, oh yeah, your neck hurts. But,
right,
like, the second time he made that joke, I was like, okay.
Yeah,
you know, like, I mean?
Heard that one.
And
I did,
it's
like,
so,
yeah,
like, I don't know, and this might be me, and I know I'm going to catch heat for this, but just like T.J. Miller's thing, like, it's starting to wear on me a little bit.
Well, I also read an article about T.J. Miller that was not very kind to him. Like the Me Too stuff, like, you know, and I don't know if he's the guy you want to be backing right now. Like, again, if what was said about him is true, it doesn't necessarily sound like he's the best guy.
Yeah, I hope not. But again, like, his shtick, like, his thing.
Yeah, it's kind of,
yeah,
it's one note, you know, it's...
Yeah,
you know,
it started
to
wear
doing
on me a little bit. So, like,
that's,
I still
fine,
think he's funny. I still think, you know, I would you know, watch a show he was in or whatever.
Well, I'll tell you, Silicon Valley is missing him desperately after the first,
yeah,
two episodes.
I missed the second episode. I missed the...
Yeah.
They didn't have...
No,
yeah,
I wouldn't say you missed it.
But I cared about the characters more in the book than I did in the movie. Like,
yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. Like, that was one of my takeaways. Is like, some of the stuff is cool, and you know, the characters. I liked Artemis, I think, maybe the most out of like the main characters. But even still, I wasn't like really rooting for her. I was just like, kind of, you know, like whatever. I also think it's. It's all about the references, and that can be both good and bad. Like, it's cool that this is one property. It's almost like Funko Pops, where they're able to get everything, and they throw it all on the screen, or like Lego. Like, it's everything, and you're like, that's good. But if you took that out of it, I don't think it'd be anything. Like, it would be
it'd be
a nothing movie if you couldn't have the DeLorean, if you couldn't have a Mortal Kombat pin, if you couldn't have Miss Pac-Man. If it was, like, stuff, like, created for their own universe, it'd be useless.
And that's what and that's the biggest knock on the book too, is that people feel that it weighs too heavily on like the, oh yeah, I remember that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where if they didn't have the license to mention any of these things, it would just be like a pretty stupid book.
Yeah, like,
you know what I mean?
Well, I would compare it to like when Jimmy Fallon does like a medley and everybody goes nuts about these songs, and you're like, well, those are just songs that you know. Like,
right.
that's all that is. And then I was talking to our producer of the Dale and Keith show, Andy, and Andy's saying it's almost similar to, like, Family Guy. Like, it's good, but they're like, here's an old commercial that you probably remember, right? And, like, you end up laughing at that, or you're like, yes, I know this. And it's like you're in on something. And so, again, like, I like seeing Tracer standing next to Battletoads. Like, that's cool. But that's also that is it. Like, that's what you're going
for. You're like, hey, those are things. And let's move on. You know what I mean?
I like those things.
What the book did so well is that like it whittled those down to like a very like select group of people, which I understand. And I understand, you know, that you can't do that with a Spielberg movie. You can't make it so niche that people don't get the references. You can't have a scene where a character is playing a huge model of a Dungeons and Dragons game.
Right.
People are going to be like, what the hell am I looking at?
What is this?
Or you can't have, you know, Wade sitting there playing like an Atari game for 20 minutes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't work. So you need to make this more like, and I would say this is the references that were made, like you said, and the game itself, like the quest itself, to me was a little too basic.
Yes. Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
No, I think so. Now, a lot of times when we do these movie reviews, we try to do like Easter eggs and references, but that's literally the entire movie. So
it's the whole movie.
We're not going to be able to do all of them. So what were some of your favorite ones that you saw?
I thought a nice little twist that they did, and they didn't do this in the book, was they actually had to like go to the, and it was a weird choice for like a PG-13 movie to go to the Overlook Hotel in The Shining.
So that was really cool. Like I'm with you. I think that was like the best part. And then just the idea, like, so then your mind starts racing. Like if you could just drop into like any movie, like how crazy that would be. And to pick The Shining, you're right. I'm looking around, I'm like, yeah, this is PG-13 still. Like, there was some really scary stuff. Like, if I was a kid, I would have been terrified of some of that stuff.
Yeah. Like the old lady in the bathtub. They did the old lady in the bathtub thing.
They did old lady in the bathtub, and they did the twins, and they did the little twins, and they did the blood hallway. They did all that stuff.
I would have loved to have seen, like, a de-aged Jack Nicholson, like, running through, like, the maze. Like, that would have made it for me, but that was one of the cooler scenes, I thought.
That was a cool scene. I also liked when Artemis... Like, after Parsifal, Wade Watts had become famous for getting the first clue, she was trying to teach him a lesson, like, you need to now have a disguise. And so she was Goro from Mortal Kombat with, like, an alien popping out of her chest from Alien. So it was, like, a double reference. So I thought that was a good one.
That was good.
But, yeah, The Shining thing definitely stood out to me as being one of the better parts of it. The worst parts, I think we kind of covered. Like, it was just, I don't know. The way they kind of threw it all together, like it's chaos on the screen, and then you got to try to make sense of it a little bit. And while you're doing it, I don't think you really truly developed the characters all that much. And I never really found myself rooting for Wade at any point of the movie.
No, and I have a list here.
Okay.
First of all, the worst part of the movie when Artemis and Wade are riffing back and forth at how much they know about James Halliday. And they're like, what's his favorite shooter of all time? And they're like, Goldeneye. And I'm like, sweet. And they're like, his favorite character? And they go, Oddjob.
No.
And I was like, there's no fucking way that James Halliday's favorite character is Oddjob. There's no way that he loves playing Oddjob with Slappers Only, because that is the most bitch move you can do.
That absolutely, yeah, I had that down too. Like that is, there's no way odd job, but you're right. Like that's so, that's trying to appeal to like more of like the mass. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
like everybody's like, oh yeah, I used to play odd job all the time. It's like, yeah, well you were lame then. Like if you played,
you sucked
yeah, and you weren't good at the game, obviously.
Yeah, you're a fucking cheater.
Or you didn't have friends who had the no odd job rule because that's how everybody else played. So yeah, that stood out as sort of like a, eh.
And the other thing, I thought the game, the quest itself was a little lame. It was a little pedestrian. Like anyone could have figured that out.
Yeah.
You just had to like look. You just had to catch that little bit of dialogue between Halliday and Morrow. Like that's it. Like there was much more of an academic side to the book.
Now,
where, like,
yeah. I was going to say, because the movie's already 2 hours and 20 minutes, but that is one thing where like he goes in and he's like, hey, like pull up this scene. And so he walks in there and like he immediately like, oh, there's the clue. It's like they didn't show him in there for like a super long time. Like
no, like poring over books and looking at his own notes and going back and forth,
right,
and looking
like,
at the riddle in front of him, and you know what I mean?
He's like, oh, like, I have to go backwards. And you're like, ugh, I guess.
Like Bill and Ted did it. And you're like, yeah, there's another Bill and Ted reference. Cool. The other thing too, the characters, so on that end, the characters like had to work to like get, it wasn't like an accident that they just happened to hear the right bit of dialogue. Like they actually worked to get there.
Yeah, so that's a big,
you know what I mean?
That's a huge difference.
I didn't like, and again, I didn't care so much about the characters in the movie. I also didn't care about the Oasis at all. And what they completely undersold in this movie was that the Oasis was like everything. Like that's the reason that Wade, being a poor kid, has a visor and gloves is because, and they tell you this in the book, is that Ogden Morrow put a whole bunch of money into education. So every kid, if they went to school in the Oasis, got those provided for them.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't left
so, like,
out.
So that's where he got them. And, like, he wasn't borrowing them from his aunt or whatever. And it's funny, the relationship with the aunt and him, basically the aunt just kept him around in the book just to get, like, extra food stamps. And
yeah.
just, like, kept them from him.
Also, I had no idea what the relationship was for, like, a little bit. Like,
yeah.
you know, I mean, and that's fine. Like, they don't need to have, like, pins that say, like, oh, this is his aunt. But when the whole shack got, like, blown up, he like
yeah.
he didn't care.
No.
Like, there was yeah. no response from him. I'm like, all right, so it must not be his mom because like I know it's not the you know the greatest living environment, but you'd think he would show some sort of remorse, but he was just like didn't care.
Well, what else was weird is like in the book, like the trailer that they live in is like completely packed full of people.
Oh, okay.
And that's why he sleeps on the washer and dryer.
Mm.
It's because like, and in the movie, it's just him, the aunt, and the boyfriend, and there's multiple rooms in the trailer and a whole set of couches. So, like, why doesn't he just sleep on the couch?
Yeah, it'd be more comfortable, I would think.
Yeah. So that didn't make any sense. And the last one I have, they kind of downplayed the IOI is trying to... So the Oasis is free. Like, the whole point of Halliday and Morrow's thing is that it's this big open-source thing where you can create and do anything you want, and it's free.
Yeah.
There's like an in-game, and that IOI is trying to privatize it and make it, you know, subscription-based and all that stuff. So there's all that whole thing, too, that benevolent act that they did that they kind of just kind of swept, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I hear you. The other thing, now, I don't know if this was too risque or not, but Nolan Sorrento's, his password was Bossman69.
Ooh.
Nice. Nice.
Well, the other thing, too, is Shoto dies. He's actually assassinated by the IOI in the book.
Really? Yes, yeah, so there was none of that in here.
No,
so this was a big-time happy ending. This was the whole group, the high five. Like, they emerge victorious. They're going to split it. Like, they're going to run it. And, hey, here's a little message, too. It's closed on Tuesdays, Thursdays, because you can't spend your whole life looking at a screen. And you're like, okay. A little heavy-handed.
And that's not the point. That's not the point of the book. You know what I mean? And they basically, first of all, the worst ending line to any movie ever. Reality is the only thing that's real. Like, oh my God.
Oh.
Like, fucking, are you kidding me? And then, you close the Oasis Tuesday and Thursday so you can make out with your girlfriend.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, that's it's the dumbest thing. The point of the book is that at the end, you know, Wade says the power, he's like, and for the first time in a long time, I had no desire to log in to the Oasis, which in my mind is just like, well, once you like own something, like you're, once you finish the game, you don't really want to turn the game back on again. Like, that's the, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
What,
yeah.
And it's a lesson to, like, enjoy it while you have it.
Yes.
Like, nothing is permanent, you know? And the idea that, like, there are these things in the world that we love and that we care about, and how we spread that as we share them with people we love. And we find common ground with people. And, you know, there's things that we consume, like video games or TV, like we do in this podcast all the time. But the idea is to take our love for them and share them with other people.
Right.
You know, and that's the point of the book.
Yeah,
it's not to win a game. Like, that's not the point.
And then, hey, make sure you take a break from all the devices. Looking at you, millennials.
Yeah, like, as you're sitting in a dark movie theater, like, in the next first thing you're going to do is, like, pick up your phone and tweet about the movie. You know?
Yeah, like, don't do that. You know, maybe we should start doing now.
Completely lost. What?
Tuesdays and Thursdays, we don't play video games. We don't go on our phones. How about that?
Just shut it down.
Just disconnect a little bit. Stay off the grid if you can.
I'm going to go make out with my wife.
Yeah, kiss my wife right in her face.
I'm going to wake my kids up in bed and be like, hey, I'm supposed to be playing Overwatch with Uncle Rich right now, but I want to hang out with you.
Tell me a story. How was your day? Like, I'm just trying to go to sleep.
Talk to me about your day.
I just want to sleep.
Like, fuck off.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, I would say, too, they went a little too Rain Man with James Halliday, didn't you think?
Yeah, big time. He was like, oh, it was almost distracting. Like, I understand he's not going to have, like, the greatest social skills or whatever, but it was like, I didn't like him at all.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I hate being the guy who's like, the book.
No, but I think in this case, I think it's fine.
He does that by choice. Like, he doesn't interact with people by choice. It's not because he's like a dick. He's
got,
not like
Asperger's
Rain Man.
Or whatever.
He's not like Rain
yeah.
Man. He
yeah.
just he just doesn't connect that way, you know. But he connects with Karen, Ogden Morrow's wife, who in the text is a huge part of their company. Like, she's the one, like,
okay.
Her and Ogden Morrow wind up doing, they leave Gregarious and start doing, like, educational games, and that's where the education funding comes in for the Oasis and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So they kind of do their own thing, and she's a huge part of the development of the Oasis, and she's just kind of like a love interest for both of them in this movie, which is kind of like threw her away.
Ooh.
You know, it's kind of like,
no, I hear you, though,
that
yeah.
character did, they just kind of like shit on it, and just like, no, she's just a girl that they both liked.
I did think H was a pretty good character.
Age is a good character.
Yeah.
She's a terrible actress.
Not good. Yeah, no, I liked her more in the Oasis.
And one of the interesting things is, in the text, her avatar is both male and white.
Oh, interesting.
So her mother, when she was younger, made her character male and white to afford her more opportunities, which is an interesting little thing that Klein stuck in there.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. And it's also, I like that she's the character that is warning Wade that Artemis could be like a dude from Detroit, where in reality,
right.
you know, she's actually
a
girl. And so, pretty good. Like, so, I mean, you're right. Like, I didn't hate it. And some of the feedback we've already gotten on Twitter, a lot of the listeners are saying, hey, I really enjoyed it, or like, what a fun movie. Like, that's great. Like, if you guys liked it, good. Like, I hope you did. But I don't know. I went in not really expecting much, and unlike Davey, I had not read the book, and so I knew kind of what it was about, and just didn't love it. Like, I just was left saying, all right, fine. Like, it seems
and
like
just,
another movie.
It's just too bad. It's
yeah.
just too bad that, you know, these movies are like money-making machines, and they're meant to be seen by as many people as possible as quickly as possible. That's why we talk about opening weekends, and we talk about Rotten Tomatoes, because that's what matters. And this was definitely a niche book that was made into a movie for everyone.
Let me ask you this. If it's the exact same movie, like everything, like shot for shot, it's the same movie, would it get a 75% by the critics on Rotten Tomatoes if it wasn't Steven Spielberg?
I don't think you could do it. And that's why I feel like it's a 3.5, because while it didn't do it for me, it's the best they could have done with this source material, because it's just so
yeah it felt long to me. Like, there are a lot of MCU movies, the recent Star Wars, which also kind of felt long, but like I'm prepared, even though I don't have a great attention, but I could sit for 2+ hours if the movie is good. This was definitely a check the phone during the movie thing, which I don't usually do. Like, I don't do that. Like, I put the phone away and I'm done. But this was not like I was checking Twitter, but I was like checking the time, and I was like, okay, all right, like, this is fine, let's keep going. I wouldn't say I was bored, but I was definitely it felt like you were sitting there for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
And, like, the whole thing with, like, the resistance, like, oh, we're part of the resistance. Like,
yeah.
Why do we have to do that? Like,
well,
why
that's
do we
because
have to
they were like,
that down?
We want Star Wars references, but we're not allowed to put, like, too many in. Or there was some rule about Star Wars stuff. So there's, like, I think in the background there might be some stuff, but they couldn't go over the top with Star Wars.
And I think that's where it's, like, pandering a little bit. That's the word I would use for this movie. It's just, like, the book doesn't pander to everyone. It definitely has its audience. Ernie Cline definitely has his audience. And I'm while I love Ready Player One, I see his second book, Armada, is just not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get it, why people don't like it, and I get why I like it, you know. And it's just too bad that, like, so it was near empty theater, and I found myself just sitting there, like, watching the credits roll and just, like, trying to get my thoughts together.
I know. Yeah, I hear you.
And it was like, midnight. It was, like, 12:30, and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Like, what am I doing? Like,
yeah.
What am I doing with my life? So what is the next theater movie for? Oh, it's Avengers.
Avengers.
Yeah, that is going to be 2 hours and 20 minutes that just hums by.
And you're going to be like, no more. At the end, you know what I mean? At
yeah,
the end of that,
yeah,
you're
please
like,
give me yeah. more. And then they're going to say, hey, guess what? It's part of a sequel, potentially.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts on Ready Player One?
You know, it's just too bad. It's too bad.
You're not mad. You're just disappointed in it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to something else then.
Pick of the Pod.
Pick of the Pod.
Pick of the Pod.
Pick of the Pod.
Pick of the Pod time. Ryan, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal?
I will defer to you.
All right. I have two. One, we're going to tell you about our event at Idle Hands coming up later on this month. But also this month, if you're a big beer fan, the Power Beer Fest is April 28th. There's two sessions. It's the Mass Brewers Guild that puts this on. So you can check it out, massbrewersguild.org. Idle Hands will be there. Treehouse will be there. Night Shift will be there. Some of the best from Massachusetts will be there. So it's two sessions. They're each like 3.5 hours long, so you can get tickets, walk around. If you've ever been to a beer fest before, they're the best. You can just sample all the beer that you want. So it's the Power Beer Fest. I'm going to be going to that. I'm excited for that. My other pick of the pod, Ryan, I finally saw Creep 2.
Pretty good, right?
It is pretty good. And
not as good as the first one.
No, it's not.
Good.
No, it's not. But as far as like a horror sequel is concerned, definitely worth seeing. If you like the first one, you'll like this one. Like you said, maybe not as much, but that character is back. And
it's bonkers.
It's insane. It's pretty crazy.
And I think having the Duplass brothers said it's a trilogy.
Ooh, I could see that. I would watch a third one of that.
I want to see how that ends up.
And so that is available right now on Netflix. If you have Netflix, just search Creep 2, and it's there. It's like a 90-minute horror movie. Pretty good. And it's similar to the first, but it has its differences as well. So I highly recommend it.
All right. So my pick of the podcast this week, if you like Ready Player One, if you like the book and you didn't necessarily care for the movie, a book recommendation for you, which five of you are going to read, but I read it a while ago, and I thought about it. You know, what we could do next in terms of, like, these geeky sci-fi things. There's a book by a guy named Scott Mayer called Off to Be the Wizard.
Oh, nice.
Which is, I'll read you the Amazon description here. Martin Banks is just a normal guy who has made an abnormal discovery. He can manipulate reality thanks to reality being nothing more than a computer program. With every use of this ability, though, Martin finds his little tweaks have not escaped notice. Rather than face prosecution, he decides instead to travel back in time into the Middle Ages to pose as a wizard.
Well, I'm in.
Yeah, and he goes back, and he can do. You know, he has like a cell phone. He like can do all these things. You know, it's actually pretty clever. And he finds out that the other wizards in this time period, the people who are considered wizards, are also time travelers.
Ooh!
So he's not the first one to have this idea.
That's funny. Interesting.
Yeah. So it's actually, and they have like this like wizard battle that involves like breakdancing and stuff, which is actually really funny.
I like that.
If you're into this type of book, this Ernest Cline type books, please read Off to Be the Wizard by Scott Mayer.
Oh, the other thing I meant to ask you was, if the Oasis was real, like if we were living in a world where the Oasis was a real thing, how often do you think you'd be in there?
Well, I'd be out of it. I'd probably be in there every day, considering if that's where schools are and I'm a teacher, that's where I would be.
Yeah, that's true. You'd have to be in there every day.
I would have to, yeah.
And then as another question, if you could go into any movie like they went into The Shining, what movie would you go into?
Now I go into the movie as like a character or as like a
So
like
I guess that's kind of how it worked, right? I mean, there were So like you're a character and you could be
like when they went into The Shining, they were clearly like Danny, right?
Yeah, that's what it felt like. Yeah.
I don't know. Roadhouse?
Yeah, Roadhouse is good.
Oh, that would be sweet.
I was thinking like Varsity Blues and go as Scott Tweeter.
That'd be pretty good, too. Not Billy Bob, though. Or what if you were like Mikey from the Goonies? Like, that would be sweet.
Mikey from the Goonies would be a good time. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of good answers there. I think you could get
especially if you knew that like nothing could happen to you.
Yeah.
If you and so it's funny, like in the book, like one of the challenges he has to do is he has to play Matthew Broderick's character in War Games and say every word line for line, like every word.
Oh my God.
That's one of the challenges.
That's pretty good.
Which is actually it's funny you brought that up, having not known that.
How about that? Look at the big brain on Rich.
Look at it.
How about, Ryan, this is a double dork week, so
it is.
Strap in. If you're a wrestling fan, we are going to be doing a WrestleMania 34 preview. It's going to be Dale Arnold, Jason Rossi joining me. It's going to be out Wednesday night. I don't know when you're listening to this, so maybe it's out right now. So check that out.
Hoofer.
It's not going to have all the bells and whistles. We did This Week in Dork on this podcast, obviously, Pick of the Pod, all that stuff. So that's going to be a straight WrestleMania preview. If you have wrestling friends out there, tell them to listen to this as we're going to break down the card for this weekend's WrestleMania 34. We'd already sort of mentioned it before, but hopefully you can join us April 22nd. It's a Sunday, 4 o'clock at Idle Hands in Malden. Come drink some beers and listen to us talk about the Avengers Infinity War. It's going to be our preview show. We're going to be joined by Mac and Goo, the Boxers, and Uncle Buck. So it's going to be pretty chaotic. It's going to be the whole shared universe there together talking about maybe the greatest shared universe of them all. I don't know how it's going to work. It seems like a lot of voices all on one thing. Maybe we can even do a question and answer at the end. We'll see how it goes. But I have a feeling that this may be a two-hour episode.
It might be a two-hour episode, and I think it's going to be broadcast across all channels of Mac and Goo, the Boxers, and Dork.
Is that what they're saying? Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see why not. And we should also try, maybe we'll incorporate like a YouTube part of it or Periscope, or we'll figure something out.
We'll figure something up with the
technology. We'll cook something up. You, of course, can subscribe, rate, and review on the iTunes. We're also on Stitcher and Google Play and other spots, weei.com, at Dork Podcast on the Twitter. Oh, by the way, you can leave us a review, like I said. Very nice. We read those. You can rank us 5 stars if you feel like we're deserving of that. We have a couple of dickbags give us a 1 star. One guy, at the very least, said why. The other person, just a 1 star and out. Didn't even say why, which is frustrating because I don't know why he felt or she felt it was so bad. But you can tweet us anytime at Dork Podcast. You can email us anytime, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, which we need to throw some more stuff up there.
We do. Yep. I need to be better about that.
We do need to be better. It's youtube.com/dorkpodcast. And you can also just follow Ryan at a variety of places.
At Arvon D on any and all major social media outlets.
Just get in there.
Do you have any?
Despite
what everyone says.
Do you have any words of advice, Ryan, before we stop doing this podcast today?
Other than, you know, kind of save your money. Words of advice?
No, not about Ready Player One, but just in general. Usually you give us some good tips on, you know, maybe how to stay healthy or how to stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
Or,
you know, I was thinking about it the other day, you know, having just got over a sinus infection. You know, every time, you know, if you're me, you know, every time the seasons change, you know, they call them the seasonal allergies. You know, stock up on some Benadryl now. You're going to thank yourself. You're going to save yourself some time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some Sudafed. You know, just head down to Costco, which is my favorite store of all time, and just, you know, stock up, you know, so you never have to leave your house.
That's very nice. Very strong words of advice there from Arvon D. Thanks for listening to this. Again, it's a Double Dork Week, WrestleMania 34 preview, and then next week, I don't remember what we're doing, but I'm sure we'll come up with something.
It is something else.
Something that you are not going to want to miss. We'll talk to you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.